accession number 18775, Reel 3.
Then Prout's Reel 3. You were saying they'd laid out turkeys?
Oh, yes, they'd laid out tables for our. They were having a bit of a feast the day after on the 23rd. And they'd acquired some turkeys from. It's getting warm now. They'd acquired some turkeys from the Yanks. Anyway, we never saw the turkeys. We'd received from Japan. The battalion used to wear red and white rows in their hats during St. George's Day, and we'd received these. Red and white roses, they were made of material from Japan, and they had those stuck in their hats. But the battle really started about, I should say, about 11 o'clock the night before, and it went right through until, say, the 27th. But that particular night, we were the HQ company were in a little valley. The companies were surrounding us. We had one company on our right, Z Company, right on the top of the hill there. And anyway, orders were given for a withdrawal down below. So we were moved down to the bottom of the hill. The Z Company was still there. And we were there most of the time, for a few hours anyway. That's that particular night. We were there for a few hours. Companies were being attacked, and Z Company had to withdraw. Now, when Z Company withdrew, my mate, Roy Rees, he lives down in Colchester, he was. He was stuck up there. Well, I didn't know that until somebody came around and said to me, Roy Rees is missing. Anyway, it turned out he'd been left behind. He hadn't known the company had withdrawn. He'd been left behind in the slit trench with his mates. And his mates had made a run for Eddie Gotchart. And Roy Rees eventually made his way around the back of the hill and came down to where we were standing. I had a shock of my life when I saw him there. Anyway, we were there for quite a while, and then they started firing for the hills, on top of the hill, because we had to give firing from the bottom of the hill. And then a battalion of Yanks came up, Black Yanks. They'd been sent to take the hill which our fellows had come off. They were up there about 3 minutes and they beat a hasty retreat. That was that. Anyway, all that morning.
Why did they beat such a hasty retreat?
Because of too many chinks. Too many chinks up there. In the meantime, no, it was after the Yanks had been there. Lieutenant Millington, with a platoon of his company, Z Company, tried to take the position from which they'd been forced down, but they didn't take it. They had to retreat again, and I think he was killed in the action, Lieutenant Millington. Anyway, we went back about 1,000 yards. I think it's just about 1,000 yards. Took up positions on hills. It's all hills. It's hills all over Korea. And we took up positions on hills there. And they were continually fighting during the course of the day. That was 23rd, 24th. We retreated further, I think. We fell back further. And we had the Glossers on our left, I think, and the RURs on our right. And stood there. Now, on the 24th, myself and Preston Little and a Lance Corporal Mills were sent back to Echelon for rest. The Echelon, that was some miles back. And there, following morning, we winged early and we were ordered to take some reinforcements back up to the battalion. And anyway, these columns arrived, you know, the trucks arrived with the reinforcements. We jumped on. We didn't make it to the battalion because we got a few miles up. And there's heavy fire from the hills, you know, sniping one thing. The chappies there, what do they call them? The young lads, conscripts, not conscripts, National Service lads, yeah. And the lads there killed on the, they'd never even seen fighting, you know. They were killed on the trucks before they even got to the front.
Anyway, rifle fire,
yeah. And anyway, the truck stopped, and with us, the three of us, Mills, myself, and one of the officers asked us to go out and scout out and see what we could do. So we went out in scouting around the hills, and it was nerve-wracking, actually. We went round the base of the hills, you know, scouting to see if we see anything there. Turned around one corner and I saw these little heads popping up. And I thought, Koreans, you know. I thought, I haven't seen any Koreans here, so I wandered back to my mate. I said, are there any Koreans here? He said, no, not that I know of. They're not sure around there. As I say, you can tell the Korean, the North Korean from the South Korean. Anyway, walked around again and blew me down one. I had one of the stick grenades thrown at me. And fortunately, I mean, it just went foot. You know, it never went off. Well, obviously, we realised then who they were. So we got rid of them. We had a couple of grenades, got rid of them.
How many?
One. There must at the time, there must have been about, I don't know, I said, they're in the slit trenches around the corner. I should say there were about 8 or 10, I think. But at the top of the hill, there was also a machine gun nest, which we didn't know at the time, just at the top of the hill. We came around the corner and the hill, you know, just on the top of the hill, about, it was just a little knoll, it was. There's a machine gun nest, but we didn't know that at the time. Until, of course, we came back. And in the meantime, the 8th Hussars had come up. A company of the 8th Hussars, a troop, I think they call it, tanks. So the reinforcements, of course, couldn't get through. So I think they were sent back. And we were asked to stay with the tanks, to spot for the tanks, which we did. And that is when we discovered that there was a machine gun nest on top of these little knoll which we'd gone around. Anyway, during the course of the day, we stayed with the tanks and we went out spotting and directing the tanks. And my mate, Preston Little, he was on top of one of the tanks with a brain gun. It's funny, he called me over one time. He said, just have a look at, through these glasses and look through and surrounding hills, absolutely, there were thousands of these little black figures, Chinese coming down. It was absolutely amazing. Well, I thought, good God, I said, we haven't got a chance in hell here. There were literally thousands of them. You could see them. I said, just look at them there. Anyway, we stayed with the tanks all day then. And one particular time, it was rather funny, and well, it wasn't funny for the poor fella. A Chinese fellow came, he'd been wounded, and he came towards us with his arms up. So we couldn't do anything with him, so we told him to go make his way back to, you know, down south towards our back lines. And He was killed by his own men as he was making his way back. You know, he was shot. It wasn't all one of our fellows. But they were with them. Well, the troops, all the fusiliers and the RURs were retreating back down the road. Then they were come through the tanks and they came back down the road, making their way back as best they could. We stayed there, and then the tanks were ordered out. And during the course of being ordered out, we piled up with men, of course, on the tanks. And Tony Perrins, Lieutenant Perrins, he was my intelligence officer at the time. You know, he jumped on. Anyway, we went down distance, and then one of the tanks was ditched, it ran off the road or something or other, and of course it held up the rest behind. On the tanks, they were absolutely packed tight with men. On ours, there must have been about 14 or 16 men on top. And Tony Perrins decided to jump off then, and he thought that would be, well, it was either that or stay on the tank and chance getting shot and one thing or another. So he jumped off, and unfortunately, he was wounded and he was captured. And we stayed done, and there were about six or eight of us got through on the tank. The rest were either killed or jumped off, you know.
You ran southwards?
Yes. And, we were all in flight then.
Which day was that?
This was on the 25th of April. And, something else, I was on that tank, and I had my head. They have a reel on top for running out the line, you know, the cable for the telephone, one thing or another. I had my head behind that. They might get me in the body, but they won't get me in the head. There's one poor chap there, though, right beside me, and it's a funny thing. You often hear people being killed, and the last word they say is mother. This chap did. He got it shot in the back. And it was the last thing he said, mother. And I can remember distinctly. He was sitting right beside me. They were absolutely, it was chaos, it was. But there's another chap. I'd happened to see some just behind us a few yards ago. I saw a Chinese poke his head up, and I took a shot at him, and the fellow beside me, he must still be deaf because it must have just gone past his ear, I think, one of our old fellows on the tank, and he just looked at me disgusted. Yeah, he must still be deaf. They must have absolutely wasn't there, deafened him there. Anyway, we eventually made our way, and we were taken off by a few miles back.
How long did you think you were on the tank for?
Oh, I should say, it seemed hours. It was hours, I think. It must have been about an hour and a half, I think. I'm not sure. I honestly couldn't say. It may not have been that long, but it did seem a long, long time, it did. That was on the way back, you know, on the way out then. But in the meantime, the other companies have made their way on foot, you know, back to the assembly point. But then we were picked up by wagons, and we were taken down to Yongdong Po, I think it was, Yongdong Po, yeah. That was the other side of the Han River.
Could I just take you through the battle again, just to clarify things? And ask you some questions about it, please. You said how at first you thought you heard these movements on the 22nd.
No, that was my mate who... my mate was down below. He was on guard at the time.
Where were you at the time?
I was in my pup tent, asleep, up on the top.
And where was the pup tent?
It was up on the top of the hill, We had the pop tents up on the top there, but the empty, the motor transport was down below, and they had a guard patrolling that, and he was on guard at the time down there. And the hills were all around the court.
Is this battalion HQ?
HQ, yes, yeah. But the hills were all around, as you say. And apparently what had happened, they'd forded, the river was just the other side of the hills. And apparently they forded the river and they'd infiltrated through. And they came, they were all right behind us, a lot of them. But no, it was my mate who'd there. He came up and he said, people moving about there. And I said, oh, don't stop panicking. Anyway, apparently he must have been correct. You know?
So you were the one who was sceptical?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Why were you so sceptical about it?
I don't know. It seems so ridiculous. I mean, the hills are all around us and the river in front of us. Like, I mean, for anybody to get across there, well, somebody would see them before they got through to HQ, you know, through the... I mean, we had the companies all around the top of the hills, you know.
And what did you say the next thing that happened was, after that? After he'd said this?
Actually, I went on stag, and then the Wasson in battle really started then, you know, there was for firing and one thing and another. And the battle really started then, and I carried on all through the night.
On stag?
Pardon?
On stag?
No.
On sentry duty?
No. After, when the battle commenced, of course, I mean, we were ordered to take up positions like for, we were at the bottom of the hill. I think we had to take up firing positions there, you know, and...
defensive positions around the HQ.
That's correct, yeah. But then the MT, all the motor transport was then ordered out, you know, they went back to a different position.
And what happened after that?
Well, then, we were there all day. All night it was, actually, up to about 10 o'clock in the morning, I think. It was all that night, and we were on the alert all the night, and various things were happening, you know. The battle was going raging around, but that's when Z Company withdrew, and as I say, Roy Rees was, he was left behind there, my mate, was left behind.
How much did you know of what was happening to the companies?
Very little, but... the thing was, we did get to know a bit because the CO was in position with us. You know, Attack HQ was there, and we did get to know a little from the intelligence officer. Like he tells us, oh, what's the name has been attacked, one company's been attacked, another company's been attacked, or we're going to withdraw. And, very, very little we knew that day what was happening, like, until the company started withdrawing, and then we, you know, found out what had been going on.
And did it surprise you to hear that Z Company had to pull out?
Not really, like, because, as I say, I don't know whether it didn't surprise me at all. I mean, it was just accepted that they had to pull out because they were overwhelmed by by the change. And but all the companies had to pull back eventually, of course. And,
but you said then these black GIs tried to retake.
Well, yeah, they tried to retake a position which had been vacated, and they couldn't take it. But they were very. We were at the side of the road as we went past, and I don't like Yanks. I don't. They were very bumptious, you know. You guys, and then they were up there 3 minutes. They came back again, and they couldn't take it. And they sent up about a battalion, which was previously held by a company, you know, of our fellas, and they still couldn't take it.
Were they going up in lorries or marching?
Oh, no, marching up, yeah. Marching. Yeah. Well, they were the, what's the name, infantry, as it were.
So what were they saying to you as they passed?
And? Oh, you know, the general thing, you were, you know, you guys, you were bloody limeys, one thing or another, but they were... they were just disparaging, you know. But all that's been it all ruddy night, you know, they had. And,
so they were showing contempt for the British
they
Army?
They were, yeah, more or less, yeah, they were. Mind you, the British Army showed contempt for the Yanks, I can tell you, they did. Then,
were they all black, or were they black and white?
No, no, they were black and white, actually. But they were blacks, but I think they had the what's them white COs with the white, what's their names, and COs with them, and officers. So
how did the British soldiers reply to them when they got some disparity?
Oh, they were just watching him, I think. I mean, the British soldier over there, they didn't like the Yanks. Then,
but did they reply or just remain silent?
But I don't think they worried. Like they just, they were more or less contemptuous of those them as well, I think. But,
you mean they just ignored them?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. They, in positions such as that, you're so fed up with one thing, another, you just don't worry.
Did the Americans come back with casualties?
Well, I never saw any. No, I never saw any.
But they were literally there just a few minutes?
Well, I wouldn't say a few minutes. I mean, they might have been there an hour or two, like, but it wasn't very long. Like, I mean, no, it wasn't a few minutes, a couple of hours or so.
And then that was on the 23rd, then?
That was on the 23rd, yeah.
What else happened on the 23rd?
Well, that's all that happened, apart from our withdrawal. We withdrew, but as I say, about 1,000 yards, and took up positions then. And there's sporadic fighting going on throughout the day and the following day as well. And we withdrew a further mile or so, I think, until the I think 24th. No, we went back on 24th. That's right there. Yeah, we went back on the 24th to Echelon. That's right. And then there was 25th when the real.
But on the 24th was the day when you had to take the reinforcements
out? No, the 25th.
The 25th?
25th we took the reinforcements. Yeah, 24th was... we went back to Echelon on the 24th.
How many and reinforcements 25th. Were you trying to take up?
There were about... one, two, three... I think there were about four three-tonners, I think. That would be about... be about 80, I should think. 20 in each, I think. About 80, I should imagine.
And you were escorting
the. We were with them, of course, like there were officers in charge of the. We were with them, but as we were the only, all less fellows who'd been in action, you know, we were asked to go out scouting, you know, in front when they came up under snipering. Yeah.
What rank did you have at the time?
I was only a fusilier. I couldn't have any other rank because, as I say, I was a K-type. I was a short service engagement of 18 months, and that's the only I couldn't have any other. I was only a fusilier.
Where were you trying to take the reinforcements to? Exactly?
To the battalion, to reinforce the battalion.
Which part of the battalion? And to the HQ?
No. They were what's riflemen. Yeah, they were riflemen. They were going up. You know, I don't know where what. They'd be going through into the companies, I should imagine, you know, but they're just reinforcements for the battalion as a whole.
And how far did they get on the lorries?
We only got a few miles. I don't know. Echelon would be about, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 5, about 5 miles back, I should think, Echelon, 4 or 5 miles back. And we might have got about 2 or 3 miles, and then the sniping started, you know, from the hills.
So the lorries were stopped?
Pardon? Well, the lorries were stopped then, yeah.
Because you mean they were disabled?
Pardon? Oh, no. They stopped because of the rifle fire coming. They expected more rifle fire further on, you see. The main rifle fire there, so they were stopped. The actual convoy was stopped, like, because they were... Well, they were afraid of going into further, rifle fire, so they stopped it. And I think they awaited the tanks coming up, you know, to give them support, but they never get through, as far as I know. They didn't.
Were the reinforcements being hit whilst they were in the lorry?
As I say, there were quite a few of them killed there in the lorry, but obviously, when they stopped, they'd take cover, I suppose, if what cover was available, but... But we didn't see that because we were asked to go out and scout, you see, then. We had to leave the convoy.
Was there any cover?
Pardon? Oh, there was ditches you could dodge down into, yeah. The roads there, there were tracks, you see, and on either side of the track there were paddies or mountains. And there were ditches there where you could dodge down into. But there were no trees, hardly any trees at all in Korea at the time. But, they were, I suppose they must have taken quite a while, but we weren't aware of it because we had to go forward, you see, then.
So you were sent out to scout because of the attack?
We were sent out to see what exactly was in front, you know, if we could make out any, you know, large dispositions of the Chinks or Koreans, you see.
And was that the time when you exchanged the grenades?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah.
Enemy?
Yeah.
What were they hiding in, these one?
Oh, they'd had slits. They'd come up and they'd built slit trenches, and they're very clever, the Chinese, you know. They'd come through. It slipped through during the night, of course, like, and they built these slit trenches and covered them, and you couldn't see a thing. I mean, if by chance, you know, it's... They didn't know we were coming around the corner, else it would have been down in the what's the name. But they were very clever. That's camouflage, weren't they? I mean, during that week, a couple of days before, an armoured patrol, had been across the Imjin River, 20 miles inland across, and they never saw a thing apart from the odd bud, you know. Never saw a thing. And that was a couple of days before. Before the 23rd, and then on the 23rd, these thousands and thousands of things, you know, they just descended upon us. They were very clever.
So the first thing you knew about it was when a stick grenade was thrown at
you. As I say, I went around the corner, and you can't tell the difference between the Koreans, of course. I went around the corner, I saw these heads popping up, you see. And they saw them, and they saw me, of course. And my two mates were just around the corner, and I said, "Hey, are there any Koreans here?" And not as far as I knew, you know, because the area was the brigade area, you know. There were only the Gloucesters, ourselves, and the IRs. He said, "No, not as far as I know." I said, "Well, there's some around there, unless it chinks in it." And I popped around again. That's when the grenade came at me, you see. Unfortunately,